Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Well, we're here. We're starting a new series this week. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at Proverbs and what it might say to us in the 21st century with 21st century problems. And I just thought I'd start with a quick show of hands. Who has one of the above? Not necessarily here, Justin. So that looks like every single hand. And who has more than one of those? There we go, probably every single hand. Again, let's just ask one final question on that, on this lot. Who has all of the above? It was still quite a few, so there's enough, yeah. So that's a lot of screens in your life. We're going to just keep asking a few questions. Let's take maybe the worst offender. These things, as we've already said, they take a lot of our attention, don't they? But probably the worst offender is the phone. So I'm guessing everyone's got a phone. Just again, quick show of hands, and you can keep your hands up for a moment and take them down as I ask a few more questions. How many of your phones are what we call smartphones, can connect to the internet? Now, one hand went down. That's David Burfield's. His 3310 hasn't connected to the internet. So other than that, there's still quite a few. How many of you people can check your emails on your phone? Still all your hands up. How many people have got Instagram or Facebook or some sort of social media on their phone? John, I'm surprised. There we are. It's back up. Thank you, John. Being very honest. What about your diary? Who has their diary on their phone? See, look at this. The phone is controlling every part of your life. It's actually now become our own personal PA, hasn't it? We actually can't function a lot of the times without our phone. So it's a pretty important device for all of us. I'm just going to quickly take mine out. Again, a lot really what we've already said. On my phone, I thought before before today, I thought I'm just going to have a look and do a little check on my phone. And on my phone, there is obviously 7 email accounts because I need 7 email addresses. I've got Facebook, Instagram, I've got Twitter, I've got my diaries. I haven't got Snapchat. I've not gone into that world yet, but I'm getting a few shakes of the head from the youth. I had a look. It has got all my diary appointments in there. My wife actually makes appointments on my... I get a little flash. Becky's booked a section of my diary out, which is pretty bad, isn't it, really? I had a look, I counted 84 apps on my phone. 84 apps. I've got the news app, and obviously the Bible app, because you've got to have that. I'm not going to tell you how frequently each one is used, and I won't tell you how frequently the Bible app's used, but it literally is controlling my whole life. I was doing a bit of research. Me and Nigel had sent lots of clips through about screens and the impact it has on our lives. And I was reading various different things, and it said 1 in 3 people wake up in the middle of the night to check their phone. 1 in 3 people think, do you know what? I can't be bothered to sleep all the way through. What's the point? I better see what Di's had for breakfast. I mean, it just seems crazy to me. And clearly, the worst offender are the youth. I mean, it's always the youth's fault, isn't it? Where there's screens and technology. So we thought we would get the youth involved with this series. As a consequence, every week we are going to set a challenge. And we set a challenge to the young people last week, and it was a terrible challenge. We feel really bad about it. But Isaac and the rest of the 180, they had to go without their phones and without connecting to the internet for the whole morning before church. I mean, you'd have thought we'd have asked them to lose a finger or something like that. It was really quite serious to some. But seeing as most of them probably don't get up till 10 o'clock, I didn't think it was that bad, but apparently it is. So what we thought we'd do is we'd ask Isaac to come and be a representative of the youth and just find out exactly how this morning has been. So, Isaac, we're going to ask you a few questions. Are you okay? You ready? So how did you and your 180 friends all do with this morning's challenge to not open your screens?
Some did okay, like Jade. She woke up this morning and she looked at her phone and said she wouldn't go on it. And then she had breakfast and walked the dog. And then she came back and said, I still won't go on it. And she came down to church.
She washed her hair.
Actually,
and she blow dried it. You blow dried it, didn't you, Jane?
Yeah. Which is,
and straightened, so.
Don't know what that means.
Good morning.
An uptake in productiveness for Jane at the time. And was it easy?
It's probably going to be one of the easier challenges, I think.
Oh, you don't know what's coming, yeah. Would most people of your age find it easy, Isaac?
Some would find it easy, but some would find it a struggle to go out.
I'm guessing more and more young people would find it more of a struggle now, would they?
Yeah, because they want to know what's going on, and it's also a form of entertainment.
Why do you think it's become a problem for some people to spend half a day without, or sorry, 2 hours without looking at a phone?
Because if they don't have a screen, they can't talk, they don't talk to anyone, and they want to be up to date with everything that's going on social media and things like that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Isaac. So we all know, I think, what a challenge it is to put the phone down and the impact that screens have on our lives. And as we probably know, it isn't just a young person's problem. It's all of ours. We see people, don't we, when we're walking down the streets, they're bumping into lampposts because they're looking at their phones. They're often sat around, maybe they're in a cafe, four of them around a table. Most of them, if not all of them, will be looking at the phone. And to be honest, I'm as guilty as anyone else. So it is certainly an issue that we see in the 21st century. So I was, again, looking at some of the research that Nigel sent through, and I'm just going to quote a couple of things. It says, research shows that leaning as heavily as we do on technology, the technology is restructuring our brains and causing shrinkage by 10 to 20%. Isn't that quite alarming? I don't want to say what shrinkage mine's been through, but it's probably a little bit more than that, possibly. Also, it says here, how many hours a day do you spend on Facebook? How about texting friends or reading magazines? If you're a millennial, and that is almost me, well, say it's me, just. If you're born between, I think, 1980 and 2000. So if you are, what's the ages, 18 to 36, you're a millennial, and you spend on average 17.8 hours a day looking at a screen. Can you believe that? 17.8. Now, it's not just one screen. Basically, it's multiplying the screen. So if you're looking at your phone and the TV at the same time, it's kind of doubling up on time. But even so, looking at a screen for that length of time is quite unbelievable. There are lots of articles. If you want to read other things, independent research, look at the back table. Nigel's printed them all off. Sorry, look at the back tables over there. They're on the side there. When we finish the service, by all means, go and have a read of those. So when Nigel was talking about this series, and obviously the preachers group had discussed what we were going to talk about, Nigel came and spoke to me because I'd mentioned to him before, 6 months ago, the struggles that I had with screens. And I don't know, maybe, sorry, Lord, could you shoot on to the next? I don't know if anyone knows who that is, but that's that's Bilbo Baggins. And he is a character in Lord of the Rings. Now, Bilbo had the one ring to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. It's a mystical fantasy lot of books by Tolkien. You can watch the films if you like, but there's this one ring that can control everything. It's an evil ring, and Bilbo doesn't know what it is, but he's in possession of this ring, and he loves this ring. It's so powerful, and it's got such a draw that he can't put it down. It is takes over his life. He both loves it and hates it. It's both a blessing and a curse. And there's a great scene at the start of Bilbo reaching into his pocket, and he's talking normally to Gandalf. This is all very strange for some of you, I'm sure. He's talking normally to Gandalf the wizard, but he's got his fingers in his pocket, and he's rubbing this ring inside this ring, just to kind of make sure that it's still there, that he's still got it on his person. And I realised that I was like that with my phone. I realised one day I was sat at home, my wife was at one end of the sofa, I was at the other, there was probably something ridiculously rubbish on TV like Casualty, I don't know. And I realised I had my finger on my phone in my pocket. And I thought, do you know what? It has become such an obsession. And it wasn't just that. I realised that I was taking the phone out, checking it. Nothing's really changed on Facebook. No more emails. Nothing really happened on the news app. I put it back in my pocket, and then almost immediately I'd have the urge to take it out again. And I was literally yo-yoing my phone in and out of my pocket. And I thought, do you know what? This is probably beyond health. It's probably not healthy anymore. So I thought, I've got to do something about that. And that was 6 months ago. So subsequently now, when I come home from work, I try and rush straight upstairs. I put the phone on charge in my bedroom, and I'm terribly ignorant to everyone for the rest of the night. And I go down and I spend time with my family. And I believe it's had a really positive impact on my creativity, my relationship with my wife and children. And it was just, I guess, something I recognise as becoming an issue. So when Nigel talked about the series, I thought, do you know what? This is really important for the people, for us today to hear, with the impacts that we have on our phones. Oh, I did have one other story here about taking it to the loo every time, but we'll kind of leave that. You can use that to your imagination. I used to run upstairs and realise I'd forgotten the phone, and then have to go back down and get it again because I couldn't go to the loo without a phone. Seems crazy, really. So I was thinking, as Nigel was talking, discussing it, what can the Bible say to us about such a 21st century problem? This is, technology and all that sort of thing is something which, in some respects, doesn't kind of feature in the Bible. And I thought, where do we get wisdom? Where do we deal with the 21st century issues that we can be faced with? And I thought, well, actually, yeah, the Bible can teach us quite a bit about technology, and it does. It doesn't necessarily mention screens and iPads and phones, but it does tell you how fragile tablets are. Oh. Boom. There we go. Luckily, I'm not here all week. So we're looking, obviously, at Proverbs, and there's a whole load of wisdom literature within the Old Testament, and that's Job, parts of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. These are what we call as wisdom books. But also, we've got the teachings of Jesus, which I know they don't reference screens directly, but these are all things to help us to see what our focus should be and help us with these 21st century issues. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking particularly at Proverbs and particularly what it can tell us about screens. And I'll hand over to Nigel.
So if the internet, your mobile phones, tablets, computers, televisions, if they created new sins, brand new sins that had never been seen before, Proverbs would probably have nothing to say to us. It would be too old a book. But the thing about these things, as Isaac has already highlighted, there are some good things about the internet and mobile phones and our jobs and the way that we work these days, the way we get our entertainment. There are some good things, but they can also become a focus for some very old sins. So for those of you who didn't put your hands up at the beginning and don't have mobile phones or don't think you have a problem with these, there's still plenty in what we're going to say that is relevant to so many other aspects of our lives. We can all be sucked in. We can all do something with ordinary tools, ordinary things that are not evil in themselves, but that enable us to focus our own inner darkness in our souls, the weaknesses in our minds, our tendency towards compulsion and obsession and temptation. And just those things that we will focus on rather than focusing on God. So we're going to be using Proverbs. If you don't think it's relevant to you about screens, it's going to be relevant about something. So chapter 8, verse 12 starts by saying, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Prudence, that kind of the reserve that we have that says this thing could be a danger, I'm going to treat it carefully. Wisdom says she possesses knowledge, and we want knowledge. The research that we've done for this series is actually quite troubling. Some of the things that proper researchers have been writing about internet addiction and about the way society is changing, some of it comes from people like the experts in Facebook. And there's a long article up there from Facebook talking about how dangerous Facebook is. Very interesting. And we need discretion. We need to be able to say, you know what, maybe some people are okay with this, but me, I have a problem with it. I have two laptops. I have a work laptop, and I have the laptop we have at home. I have my work phone, which enables me to keep up with emails and make calls for work. But because I don't want to use my work's phone for my personal business as an ethical thing, I have a personal phone as well. And I have an iPad because initially I was using it as an auto cue for making videos. But the thing about every one of these tools is they spread. They want to interest you in more things and other things. So my personal phone, for a while, because my son gave me a challenge to find him something in America, I ended up playing Pokemon on. I'm level 33 at Pokemon now. Sorry. Confession is good for the soul, right? My work computer spills over into Skype and other things. I need discretion. I need knowledge. I need to know. I need to understand how to keep this thing a tool, how to possess it and not have it possess me. Verse 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Now, if you read the comments section under most articles, or you read strings of Facebook feeds, or you read many of the things that are written about things by people who are anonymous on the internet, you will find plenty of pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. It may be that some people, like, I don't know, President of the United States, are really good users and are really nice in the way that they use the internet and send out their messages. But for many people, it's a tremendous temptation to indulge in these things which wisdom says she hates. Verse 14, counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. So what do we want in relation to screens? Are we going to finish this six-week series by telling everyone to smash their phones and smash their screens, throw out their televisions and computers? Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that make a news story? But we're not going to. We are going to seek to find ways to help one another to be the masters of this tool and not be mastered by it. To have the counsel, the advice, and the insight, as this verb says, to use them appropriately and then stop and do something else. To have a life that is not completely dominated by these screens and the internet. To have the power, as it says, to say no to them. So how are we going to get that wisdom, Ben?
Okay, I'm going to continue to read a few verses from what Nigel read initially. Proverbs 8:15-17. By me kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. So those verses show us that wisdom can help us to make good decisions. They can help us to rule in our lives. And that if we love wisdom and we pursue her, we are rewarded. If we pursue wisdom, God says, this person is going after the right thing, and rewards us with more wisdom. Now, I am no great theologian like Nigel and Isaac and David and Keith and others here. Sorry if I missed out. I'm no great theologian, but I know when God is talking to me. I know when there is something being said to me. Now, that is wisdom. And I think that is the very first seed of wisdom, quite quite often. God gives us that, I guess, as a free gift. This is what you need to do. So often, I fail. I don't listen to wisdom. I don't listen to that seed that God has planted. And I make my own decisions. I continue on. But you always know that God has given you that seed, that initial thought that says, this is what I want you to do. The real challenge is to change, isn't it? To make a choice to do something different. When we understand that seed is planted, that wisdom has asked us to change, God has asked us to do something, we have to actually acknowledge it and say, look, I do have an issue with this. I do need to change. Now, sometimes these seeds can be quite subtle. Maybe it's just a feeling. But other times, God can actually say, this is a bigger issue. I'm going to have to make a bigger deal about this or bring it to your attention more. So over the last few weeks, as I've been preparing for this series, I guess I felt being drawn back towards the phone. The devil does quite incredible things, doesn't he? He pulls you back. He takes your focus away from God in any way he can. Even just the last few days, I've noticed how much the phone has been calling out to me. Come on, Ben, pick me up. And not literally. No one's changed the ringtone or anything like that. But I noticed it was becoming more of an issue. And I just thought, do you know what? God is asking me to come and talk about the screen, but he's trying to steal my freedom already. He's wanting me to come back to it. And it was really quite scary. And that, I guess, had been going on for quite a few weeks. And I noticed that I was failing. I was falling back towards the phone. And I explained to Nigel, when we started back at work, and I'd been doing a terrible thing. I'd been driving to work, and I quickly checked some messages while I was driving. I thought it was terrible. And I'd put the phone out of ease in the top of my jacket. I was wearing a nice new jacket. I put it in the top. I got to the garage and the customer was already there waiting for me and we were talking. He said, Ben, I think I might have a bulb out. So I bent over and the phone, and I never put my phone up here, it dropped out the top. And as I said about tablets being fragile, I should have listened to Moses. There we go. Here we are. Mine is cracked. Badly broken. So I thought, do you know what? This is God battling against my weakness, I guess. Anyway, a few days went on. I still managed to persevere with my broken phone. And I was still being drawn to it. And then, for some unknown reason, my wife must have left, Becky must have left the computer running and was drawing all of the internet. So we were literally, she used all of our download at home. So I didn't have download for like 15 days. So I actually couldn't physically look at my phone. And I thought, thank you, Lord. That is exactly what I needed because I just needed to focus on him. And it was amazing what a difference these last few weeks have been. I'm going to keep trying to make, I guess, the right choices. I'm going to read Proverbs 9, 10 to 12 again. We haven't read it yet, but Proverbs 9, 10 to 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. So I guess it's just saying that the wisdom, that seed that God gives us, it's a priority. We have to make it a priority to follow what God wants us to do. It's us setting our priorities, us prioritizing God over the other things that we may be addicted to. If we do that according to God's plan, we will prosper, we will be happy. And if not, we will suffer. So we're just going to ask Nigel a few more... we're going to ask Isaac a few more questions now. Just to sort of get the youth's perspective on this now. So, Isaac, why do you think it is important to have control over your browsing and messaging?
Because it can take over your life. It's a bit like an addiction. And there's also good and bad stuff on the internet. So we need to be careful what we look at. And because if we're spending so many hours on our screens, we're missing out on what better things we can do, like spending time with your family. and because you can't socialise on your phone.
And I wonder if you could just tell us what you see happening with your friends and your friends at school and your peers. How is it affecting them?
They're on social media all the time because they want to know what's going on, and it also distracts them from their everyday lives. For like example, when I was in my class, people were on social media and wasn't learning.
So Isaac's just going to read a passage for us now, Proverbs 24:11-12. Are you happy with that, Isaac?
Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he repay everyone according to what they have done? This means that we have a responsibility to understand things that we can cause people harm and then care for them as much as we care about ourselves. If we know something is potentially dangerous, we should act to help them.
And I believe that 180 are going to be able to do that for their friends, and we ought to be able to do that for others as well. We need to understand this phenomenon. Just up there it says in verse 19, wisdom says, my fruit is better than gold. And that got me thinking about what fruit comes out of the internet. And there's an interesting thing at the moment. Internet companies, the people who set up either things like, I don't know, the Daily Mail website or Yahoo, or people who build apps, measure their success not by the number of people who get involved, but by the seconds of attention they are given. And so they put in as many hooks as they possibly can to keep you involved, to make you log on every day, to keep you coming back. And when you've done one thing, they want you to then go to do something else, to keep you involved in their site. Because from that, they can sell advertising, and the advertisers will pay according to how much attention you give it. On another hand, you've got a sense of authority. People go to the doctors these days, get a diagnosis from the doctor, and then what do? They go to the internet and check it out and make sure that the doctor said the right thing. And the internet is becoming an authority, but we don't know who writes most of the articles on there. And then a lot of us, and especially perhaps the younger people, but maybe not only the younger people, look at the lives of others in our chat feeds, and it makes us feel bad about ourselves because everyone's always having a party or getting some renovation work done around the house, or they're going out to a film that we haven't been to see, or they've got some new clothes or a brand new hairstyle, and everyone's happy and up and cheerful and everything's really great. And I look at that and I look at my life and I think, oh, I feel so bad. And my self-worth disappears. And I think if you put those three things together, the attention that you give something, the authority that you think is in that thing that you've given your attention to, and the way it affects your self-worth, you've got a definition of worship. We're worshiping our screens. We're giving them attention, we give them authority, and they tell us how to feel about ourselves. Worship should only be invested in God. We give Him our attention first. We take His word as the authority for our lives, and we get our sense of value out of the glorious, endless, eternal love of God the Father ministered to us through Jesus Christ. And wisdom means worshipping the right thing. Your attention to God first, then to your family, like Isaac said, then to your friends and community, and ultimately then to entertainment and screens and all the other things that go along with it. We have to worship right. Not got enough hands. So Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is going to be a foundation for the rest of our series. You can see it up there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all of your screen time, in all of your television viewing, in all of your gaming, in all of the way that you use these screens, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. That's going to be our memory verse for this 6-week series. So Try to commit that to memory. Many of you will have it already. So this first challenge that we've given to 180 this week will be yours next week. Don't come to church having looked at your screens, your TVs, your phones, your games, until you get to church. In fact, until the end of church. Don't come into church and... Let me get that right. Until you leave church next week, okay? And meanwhile, 180 are going to have a new challenge this week that we will be doing next week, and you'll be able to hear from them as to how they got on with the challenge before it's set for you. So it's encouraging. So far, we're hearing this week's challenge, which is now your challenge, is fairly easy. But Isaac, we're going to finish with you. Why are 180 in here today? Why are you particularly keen to be part of this?
We want to be part of the sermon in the next 5 weeks because it's things that affect us. And we believe God may say something to us to make us wise that will help everyone else here. Even children younger than us can be wise, as Jesus says in Matt 11, verse 25. I praise you, Father, Lord of the heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learnt and revealed them to little children.